as we invite your presence into this place. God, here's what I know about you. You don't share the temple with any other God. You warned us about worshiping the images and about worshiping the tree. And in this series, when we were talking about Gideon, that his father was in the worship of the tree and the images. And you said, God, that we were to tear down those images. So God, right now in Jesus' name, God, I ask for forgiveness, God, for putting images before you in this house, God, that are not of you. This house will not share this temple with any other God other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And right now in the name of Jesus, I bind every religious devil. Other devil that's invited himself in by any presented images or anything that we have put before you, God, that has dishonored you. In the name of Jesus, I command you to go right now, in Jesus' name. And I just declare the blood of Christ over this house, and I apply the blood of Jesus over every person in this house. We are in covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ and Him only. God, I thank you that you paid such a dear price by your blood that we would come into covenant with you, that we could come into covenant with you, a covenant that will never be broken. God, so we invite your spirit to come right now. We acknowledge, Lord, that you are here. God, we desire to go where you're going, to do what you're doing, and to receive every good thing, God, that you died to give us, Lord. I just declare the name of Jesus in this house. I declare the glory of the Lord. I declare your goodness. I declare your healing. I declare your power. I declare your glory, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for the freedom in this house. Just worship you, God. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Sometimes you may be seated. Sometimes God just takes me a certain way and I need to go with it. And what I love about you guys is you're ready to go with it. You're ready to stand in agreement with what the Lord is doing, with where the Holy Ghost is taking us. It's kind of what the message is going to be about today. A couple of things I want to talk about. Is realizing that we're fully loved and fully forgiven. Things that we've done in the past or that have happened to us in the past do not keep us from our future. And positioning our hearts and minds to walk in that reality through Jesus. The Lord's been putting a passage in my heart in the book of John, chapter 21, and I'll go there in a minute. But setting the stage, we've heard so many times about the restoration of Peter. Most of us have read that. We're familiar with that, how Jesus restored him after Peter had denied him. But Jesus was preparing Peter for a shift that was about to come. They were coming out of the old covenant into the new covenant. God, I just thank you, Lord. Just take a minute. Will you just pray for just a minute? Just, if you pray in the Spirit, I want you to do that. This might be a little bit different, but I just need you to pray in the Spirit for a minute. Lord, I just thank you, God, for what you want to do today. I thank you, God, that you're bigger than all that. Whatever all that is, you're bigger than that. You are able, God, to overcome anything that stands from us receiving the fullness of who you are. So I declare that in this house right now, in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to be reading in John 21, 15 through 18. John 21, 15 through 18. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" Peter said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." And then Jesus said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." I want to break this down just a little bit, as it's very important that we understand the context of the word love. When Jesus asked Peter in verse 15, "Do you love me?" Jesus was using the form of love that was agapeo. When Peter answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you," the word love there was phileo, which is a different form of the word love. And two times, Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me? Do you agapeo?" But Peter answered, "You know, Lord, that I love you." Phileo, it's the Greek. Agape and phileo is the Greek form. When Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me?" Agapeo is a verb. It's internal devotion. It means to live out the love that internally drives you. Agapeo is true agape. Agape love is defined by God and Him alone. Agapeo is actively doing what the Lord prefers. Agapeo prefers Christ living His life through you. Agapeo is preferring to live your life in Jesus, embracing God's will and choosing His choices. And when Jesus said, "Peter, do you agapeo? Do you love me? Are you devoted to me?" Peter answered in phileo. Phileo means affectionate, love of friendship. It's the love that we have for a friend. It is also to show warm affection, heartfelt consideration, love founded in admiration. The Lord was bringing Peter to a place that he needed to realize that his mindset needed to be shifted. It needed to change. Peter was answering Jesus in the only way that Peter could answer him. Peter was answering, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. You know that I have affection for you." It wasn't Peter's faith that failed. It was his courage. When he denied Jesus 3 times, do you know that Jesus prophesied that? He said, "Before the night ends, before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. And Peter's the guy that said, "You know what, God, all these people here may deny you, but I won't. I'm not going to do what they're going to do because I really love you, God. And I would lay down my life for you," he said. And Jesus said, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. And when Peter was answering Jesus, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you," he was answering Jesus with the only kind of love that he had. He knew who this Jesus was. He knew and saw what Jesus did. He saw the miracles. This is the guy that jumped out of the boat and walked on water. He didn't need anything to prove to him who Jesus was, because he knew who he was. And he was devoted and he was dedicated to him. So when Jesus asked him, "Do you love me?" Peter was like, "God, I don't know how else to answer you. I do love you." But the whole time Peter is thinking, I can't believe I just denied him. I know who he is. Peter was the one that got the revelation from the Father. He said, "Who do you say that I am?" And he said, "You are the Christ." And he said, "Blessed are you, Simon Peter. For flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven." And he said, "I say to you, your name is Peter. And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." Peter had some amazing encounters with God. 2 times Jesus asked him, "Peter, do you agapeo me? Do you love me?" This was a love that Peter was not at that particular time able to give. The 3rd time he asked him, Jesus said, "Peter, do you love me?" And the 3rd time he said, it was phileo. Both times, "Do you love me? Do you even have affection for me?" And Peter said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I have affection for you." God was bringing Peter to a place where he was going to be able to fully love. This is one of the last accounts in the book of John before we went into the book of Acts. See, Jesus was resurrected. He has already risen from the dead. And while Peter's having this conversation with Jesus, "Do you love me?" Jesus had risen from the dead and he remained on the earth for 40 days. And he appeared to the disciples at various times. So here's Peter talking with the risen Lord. He hasn't yet gone to heaven, but he's encountering them and he's preparing them for a mindset change. He's preparing them, telling them that all the things of the past and all the things that have limited you are not going to limit you anymore. And that's why Jesus had to go to heaven to sit at the right hand of the Father so that the Holy Ghost could come and fill each one of us. Jesus was making it clear, and he was saying to Peter, "I knew that you would do that. I knew that you would deny me." And Jesus is saying, "You know what? It's okay. Because the transition that's going to take place here pretty soon when the Holy Ghost falls, because I'm going to pray for you and it's going to come." Jesus said that he prayed for the Holy Ghost to come. "And I'm going to take up my abode inside of you. And it's no longer going to be doing things for me. It's going to be doing things with me. He was making it clear that, look, I'm leaving. And I'm passing the baton to you. I'm passing the baton to you to do the things that I did. And it's important that you know that you're fully restored. And pretty soon, you're going to receive the power to carry out everything that I have for you. When Jesus brings a prophecy and he says to Peter that you will deny me, you can pretty much count on it's going to happen. That wasn't a contingency prophecy. It wasn't contingent upon cooperation. It was going to happen. It was a word of knowledge. It was a specific fact about Peter, even down to the point where Jesus predicted that the rooster would crow. Isn't that cool how he kind of knows what everything's doing and what everything's going to do? Jesus wasn't prophesying Peter's failure. He was prophesying his success. How many of you know that a lot of times it's God that takes us to our limitation? How many of you know that sometimes it's God that allows these things to come into our life just to see what you'll do? Jesus is the one that led Peter to the encounter where he denied him, because he said it was going to happen. Jesus knew it. Jesus was with him. He knew it was going to happen. But Peter had a decision to make. But Peter said, no, I don't know the man. And you know what even says in there that he was swearing? No, I don't know him. He was afraid. There's something that y'all need to know. Wherever you're at in your life, and whatever that thing is before you right now, don't look at it. It's always from the enemy. And even if it is, it doesn't matter. As greater is he who is living in me than he who is in the world. Amen? It doesn't matter. But what we need to know is, and the mindset shift that we need to know is, whatever we face, God will give us the power to overcome it. But it requires agreement. It requires us to step into a realm where we let go of ourselves and take a hold of Him. Amen? We let go of ourselves and we take a hold of Him. Jesus was preparing him. He was enlarging him. And I want to go back a second when Pastor was talking about in Luke 5, I think it is, where they let down their nets and they caught all these fish. But at your word, they let down their nets. And they caught all these fish. It was a paradigm. It was like, look, God, we just did that and we failed miserably. But now you're telling me to do it again? And when they did what he said, it even said that the nets tore. How many of you know when God starts to train us and take us into a people living by the Spirit, the stuff that he's going to tell us is going to feel like a tearing. It's not going to be comfortable. You're not going to know how to do it. And can I tell you, most of the time, you're not going to be able to do it by yourself. This is so important. And God did not make humans to be dependent on human power. God made humans to be power assisted. Power assisted. And after we go from John 21 and we go right into Acts, where the promise of the Holy Spirit was coming. Humans were not meant to depend on human strength. We were meant to be power assisted. I don't think we ever had a car that didn't have power steering. But I'll bet, I don't know that they made them when, I think maybe they did, but I think there are a few of us in here that have driven cars that didn't have power steering. Well, the only thing that I have that's not power steering is my tractor. And God bless Tim and Chris, they have that tractor now. But driving that tractor in the yard and that thing not having power steering, it was miserable. And if you've ever driven a car, I can just imagine what that's like. But it's worse that, like, when you get into ruts and stuff in the yard and you're trying to drive and you're wrestling with this tractor and you're trying to mow the grass and you're wrestling with the steering wheel and it's like, and by the time I'm done, I have a headache and all kind of stress in my neck because I don't have power steering. And then we went and bought another tractor that doesn't have power steering. Ah! So, it even goes to show you that even when you have something good, if it's not power assisted, even if it's brand new, if it's not power assisted. But my mom, she's got a John Deere. My mom's John Deere tractor has power steering. Wasn't there a song about that? Something about John Deere Green? John Deere Green. On a hot summer night, he rode Billy Bob Love Charlene. And let her 3 feet high. But the whole town said that it should have been red, but it looked good to Charlene. That has nothing to do with the message. I was laughing last night when that dropped in my mind. I'm like, seriously, God? But when I get on that John Deere, like, you can just fly over the grass and you can, like, steer that with a finger. Seriously, the power steering on that tractor is like, I'd rather ride that tractor than ours. What I'm trying to make a point is that when you try to live your life without the power of the Holy Spirit, it's constantly wrestling. You're constantly wrestling, trying to work through things. But God was preparing Peter to become power assisted. If you don't leave this house with anything else today, you got to know that God has made a way for us to be power assisted. We were made for the fire of the Holy Spirit. You got to know that when you begin to walk in the Spirit and when you begin to embrace living by the voice of God rather than by a set of rules. The Old Testament was a set of rules. It was by the law. It was really put there for us to realize that we cannot do it alone. We cannot possibly fulfill the requirements to be holy before our God. And it was pointing to the things which we were not, but the new covenant was pointing to who we are. Jesus was about to take up his abode in Peter, in mankind. It was a total paradigm shift. It was no longer a temple made with hands, but now to be a temple without hands, which is our body. This was, can you imagine walking through all of those years of the Old Testament, all of those years, and then all of a sudden now some guy comes to the earth, which it was prophesied. You can read the stuff in the Old Testament and you can hear about stuff that was prophesied that would come in the coming Messiah. But when it comes upon you, this was an age of people where it was coming upon them and it was still a new thing. It was still something that they could not wrap their mind around. It's like, what do you mean, Jesus, you're standing here in front of me, but are you telling me that when you ascend that I'm going to get you in me? It would be very difficult to wrap your mind around something like that. And Jesus spent his life teaching them to enlarge their mind, to get away from what you can do in your own mind and your own wisdom and grab a hold of him. I mean, just try to go there for a minute and what that would be like to be knowing that this Holy Spirit's going to come and you're going to get it. Jesus Jesus was preparing Peter to receive the power that would enable him to overcome every obstacle he faced. When we don't stand in faith, we don't stand at all. When God allows difficult things to come into our life, when we see difficult, almost impossible things, we have a choice to make. Just like Peter did, we have a choice to make. Sometimes God requires us to step out and take a stand. For instance, when my dad was sick, I use this a lot, because can I tell you, that whole process was very powerful to my family. Very powerful. And we had a choice. We could either look at it as, woe is us, this is terrible, or we could lay a hold of every truth that God had in His Word. And as we did that, and as we said things in declaration of the truth of the Word of God, can I tell you, a lot of times they just thought we were plain nuts. It would have been really crazy for Peter to stand up and say, yeah, I knew him, you can just kill me too. But sometimes when God asks us to do something, it's going to require something of you. Almost every time. I just really feel like God is, He wants us to embrace our process. He wants us to pray for a way through rather than a way out. And that doesn't mean that He won't heal. That doesn't mean that He won't deliver. That doesn't mean that He won't intervene supernaturally. But in order for God to intervene, we must agree with Him and we must step into the process of allowing Him to discipline us. The Word of God says that the Lord, He disciplines every son whom He received. There is a time in our life, and it never ends, that we come under that submission to His authority. If you want to be a person of authority, you need to submit to authority. If you want to walk in authority with Jesus, you need to submit to His authority. And it works that way on the ground and in the natural as well. We need to learn to be the Elishas of the Elijahs. We need to learn to serve. If you see someone walking in great authority, it's because they learned how to submit to it. I guarantee it. A new way of thinking. When I talked about the nets being torn, Jesus had not yet been crucified. But in John 21, right in the beginning, He was talking about fishing again, because after Jesus had died, they had gone back to the familiar. It's hard to say what they were thinking. I can't even imagine what that was like, that all these great things were happening, and then all of a sudden, He's gone. And they don't know what to do. But when Jesus appeared, one of the times after He had been rose from the dead, they were fishing again. And when He told them to put down their nets. And this time when they put down their nets, they got a whole bunch of fish again. But this time the nets didn't tear. Because now Jesus is in the resurrected state. He has conquered death. He has gotten all that sin out of the way. And He's opened the channel for us to receive the complete indwelling of the Holy Spirit. He was getting ready to pour out His Spirit. They needed to be trained. Their minds needed to be conditioned that no longer will you live your life based on what you think and what you know, but it'll be based on what the Father tells you, what God tells you. It says in the Word of God that Jesus only said what He heard the Father saying, and He only did what He saw the Father doing. He's preparing us to be a people that lives our life that way. It's very important, especially now, that we learn to go with the Holy Spirit. Whatever He says, we need to do. We need to stand in faith. Because eventually Jesus prophesied that Peter was going to die. He had taken him to the very place where someday he would be again. Only this time it would really happen. These words aren't comfortable. Sometimes we don't know what's going to happen in our life. I would rather be living in the will of God and doing what He says and looking like an idiot than looking really successful and popular and being out of the will of God. Amen. It's not worth it. It's just my life is not worth it. That's not why I'm here. I'm here to follow Him. I'm here to enter into that process of being disciplined by God. This is a facet of God that you might not hear too often. It's really holiness. It's a walk of holiness. And in that place is where you find the favor. That's where grace and favor grows as you follow God. And He builds a foundation in you that He can pour out what He has for you. But you have to commit to being trained by the Holy Spirit so that when He tells you to do something, you don't cower. But at the same time, Jesus said, you know what? If you fail, I got it. I got you. It's okay. If you say yes to me and fail, well, good. You did what I told you. But the enemy of your soul will feed on your fear. The enemy of your soul will feed on everything that separates you from God. And then when you start talking about it, when you start confessing it, and you can empower things that will work against you. Let's put it that way. But even in the midst of failure, even in the midst of what is uncomfortable, even in the midst of our sin, what comes out of our mouth is what we will empower. Are you confessing the Word of God? Are we confessing the Word of God in our difficult situations? Are we prophesying over our kids? Are we prophesying over our spouse? Are we prophesying over the church, over the community, over the region? I woke up at midnight praying for Nancy Pelosi. Praise Jesus, she's going to have an encounter with God, just like Paul did. That's what I prayed. I pray, God, Holy Spirit, that you just knock her off her horse. Listen, I'm coming from the place right now of that's not the kind of women's liberation I want to be a part of. I don't want women to be portrayed as people that are just not saying nice things. That's not how we walk as powerful women. Powerful women emanate Jesus. Powerful women speak truth. Powerful women walk in truth. Powerful women pray for their spouses. Powerful women pray for their kids. That's the kind of woman I want to be. I don't want to swing so far left that all I do is complain. That's not what women were made to be. The enemy hates women. And I just want to speak to all the women in here. You are powerful people. And the men of this house, you are powerful men. We're better together, but powerful apart. We're powerful people. When I come to the end of myself, it's the beginning of Him. This is a new way of thinking. This was something Jesus was conveying to Peter. The things I'm going to ask you to do, you can't do without me. And God wants you to know the same. The things that He has for you, the destinies that He has for you, you can't do it without Him. And if you can, you're not dreaming big enough. You're settling. A purpose-driven life is good, but a Spirit-driven life is New Testament. Just because it's good doesn't mean it's God. Just because it looks good doesn't mean it's God. But if it's driven by the Spirit and the Word of God, that's New Testament. That's New Covenant. That's the overcoming Spirit. We can't put new ideas into old mindsets. We can't get new results from old behavior. See, Jesus got that old out of the way. He said, "Behold, I make all things new." He restored mankind back to the original intent. He gave them dominion over the earth. He took back the keys from the devil. You have to know that you're a people of authority. You're a people of power. It says somewhere in the Word that when we see really who the devil was, we're going to be like, seriously? That? But how many of you have felt fear or have felt something so it's so overpowering that it paralyzes you? Or am I the only one? It's a lie. It's a lie. God just wants your obedience. He doesn't want your perfection. He's your perfection. He just wants you to follow Him. And actually, in your failures, you're going to learn how to be successful. You're going to learn how to walk in Him. It doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter how you perform. What we do must come out of who we are. If who you are comes out of what you do, you're performance driven. Not love. It's performance. If what we are comes out of what we do, it's performance driven. I said to someone I dearly love, I said, if you never accomplished anything in your life, would you know that you are significant? Would you know that you are loved? And sadly, the answer was no. There is something inside of every one of us that we desire to be significant. We desire to know that we are important. We desire to know that we are loved. This is the very thing that Peter needed to understand. It's not about what you do, Peter. It's who I am in you. It's what I've done for you. That I paid the price so that you could live a victorious life. I paid the price so that you could be restored back to a perfect love relationship with my Father. Which is more important than anything any of us will ever do. Ever. You got to know that you're fully loved. You are fully embraced by God. He desires to give you the authority. Will you embrace the process? Will you allow Him to discipline you? Will you allow Him to put you out there? In a place where He knows His voice needs to be heard. Because you are the voice. You are His voice on the earth. My voice becomes His voice. Your voice becomes His voice when you speak what He says. You need to speak what you hear so you can see what you say. You need to speak what you hear from God so you can see what you say. Hope's confession of truth positions you to receive what faith sees. That's why I say over and over, you need to find your voice. Oh, the devil doesn't want you to have a voice. That's why he's trying to shut the mouths of Christians. You notice nobody's picking on any other race or any other religion except us? Do you think that's because there's something important inside of us that the devil wants to keep quiet? Yes. I'm here to tell you, when you find your voice, the devil's running. He can't stand in the power of God. It's not good and evil. It's good and evil. He bows his knee to the Lord. This is exciting to me. And when he said, "Peter, do you love me?" And he said, "Follow me. Tend my sheep. Feed my sheep." The context there is, spiritually pour into my people. That's why it's important when we embrace the discipline of God, when we learn to die to self and pick up Him, we are able to bring that spiritual training into every relationship that we have. So you can't give away what you don't have. Jesus was saying, "Peter, this isn't just a good idea. This is the reality of your life, and this is the reality of the success in your life. This is the reality of the love in your life, and everything that you do is grounded in what's going to take place and what has taken place." It's time to come out of hiding. It's time to stop running. It's time to stop turning away from what God wants us to step into. And can I tell you, every time I deal with something, then something else comes up. I just, yes, praise God, I overcame that. And then, boom, here comes something else out of my heart that I believed that wasn't God. And time again, and he just keeps washing you and washing you. And you keep getting freer and freer and freer. And more authority comes into your life and more power comes into your life. And he's stretching that wineskin. And he's preparing for the new to come in. At the end of our life, "Well done, good and faithful servant," comes by obedience, not by striving. It will not matter how many good things you did unless it was God. I've said it before, I'm not interested in religion. I'm interested in what God is doing. And I know you guys are too, or you wouldn't be here. You're interested in taking a stand and you want to know how to do it. I know it. I know you. It's too small for me not to know you. And you guys know me. We need to be the people that get around one another and say, "You can do this. You can do this." And pray for each other. There's only one time in the Bible this written. And this is when Jesus had died and he rose again. He appeared to the disciples in a room and he said, "Peace be to you." And the word actually isn't peace. The word is shalom. When he said peace to you, because when he said on the cross, "It is finished," a whole lot more happened than what we could ever comprehend. A whole lot more happened. The word shalom actually means safety, rest, prosperity, wholeness, welfare, completion, fullness, soundness, and well-being. Peace be to you. This is the kind of people we are to be and what we are to release to others. Peace be to you. The next time God prompts you to pray for somebody, take a hold of their hand and do it. It doesn't matter if they say no thank you. The fact is that you did what God told you. And can I tell you, we're all in a place, some of us hear God really well, some of us are learning to hear God. Some of us want to hear God. But I can tell you, normally when God wants you to do something, it feels like something's just stuck in your heart. And if you don't do it, you just feel like, I got to do this. And you're fighting and wrestling with yourself. That's probably God. And you have an opportunity for upgrade. You have a choice. Because when he starts with the small things, maybe he'll have you send a card to somebody or something that's kind of, you don't have to talk to anyone. You don't have to put yourself out there to look like an idiot. You can just send him something, or he'll ask you to pray for someone. Now we're getting a little more bold. We're putting ourselves out there. Oh, I don't really know how to pray. I don't really know how to pray for the sick. I don't know what to say. Open your mouth and he'll fill it. It's always fun practicing that. You have nothing to say, but you open your mouth and he fills it. But you got to believe it. But he'll move on to things that are way more difficult, way more putting you out there. But as we walk and we continue to walk and we continue to keep our focus on him, he establishes that in us. And at the same time, we're yielding those parts of our earthly temple that are polluted with lies. If there's something that's holding you back, there's a lie in there somewhere that you're believing. And you got to figure out what it is. You can't just say, well, that's just the way I am. No, that's just what you agree with. God has a better word than that. God is better than that. He is bigger than that. And he is able to overcome anything in your life. God is awesome. Peace be to you. I read this passage in Hebrews when we were at Manor Care. And it's a little long, but if you bear with me, I want to read this because it's kind of all encompassing of what I just said. Hebrews chapter 12. And this is the Passion Translation, so it'll be a little bit differently written than what you have. As for us, we have all of these great witnesses, and actually the word there is great martyrs, who encircle us like clouds. The great cloud of witnesses is how most of us have heard it said. So we must let go of every wound that has pierced us, and the sin we so easily fall into. Then we will be able to run life's marathon race with passion and determination. For the path has been already marked out before us. We look away from the natural realm and we fasten our gaze onto Jesus, who birthed faith within us and who leads us forward into faith's perfection. His example is this: because his heart was focused on the joy of knowing that you would be his, he endured the agony of the cross and conquered its humiliation and now sits exalted at the right hand of the throne of God. Come on, somebody. Can I hear an amen? So consider carefully how Jesus faced such intense opposition from sinners who opposed their own souls, so that you won't become worn down and cave in under life's pressures. After all, you have not yet reached the point of sweating blood in your opposition to sin. And have you forgotten his encouraging words spoken to you as his children? He said, "My child, don't underestimate the value of the discipline and training of the Lord God, or get depressed when he has to correct you. For the Lord's training of your life is the evidence of his faithful love. And when he draws you to himself, it proves you are his delightful child." Fully embrace God's correction as part of your training, for he is doing what any loving father does for his children. For who has ever heard of a child who never had to be corrected We all should welcome God's discipline as the validation of authentic sonship. For if we have never once endured His correction, it only proves we are strangers and not sons. And isn't it true that we respect our earthly fathers even though they corrected and disciplined us? Then we should demonstrate an even greater respect for God, our spiritual Father, as we submit to His life-giving discipline. Our parents corrected us for a short time of our childhood as it seemed good to them, but God corrects us through our lives for our own good, giving us an invitation to share in His holiness. Now, all discipline seems to be more pain than pleasure at the time, yet later it will produce a transformation of character, bringing a harvest of righteousness and peace to those who yield to it. I'm going to ask the worship team to come. Yesterday, when I left here, I feel like God dropped something in my spirit. And I feel like the power is here today for specifically for freedom for parents who feel like they've failed their children. And also the other way around, where we feel like if my life would have been different, I would have turned out different. Meaning that there's something with our parents that may have shaped us. And I'm not saying it's true or untrue. I'm just saying. I feel like God wants to release us from that yoke of what has happened to us. Or even decisions that we have made that we wish we wouldn't have made, that we feel has steered our children in a course they're now taking. And we are taking the blame. God wants to set you free from that today. So I just want you all to stand for a moment. I'm not going to single anybody out today. I'm not going to have you stand by yourself and say, yes, that's me. I don't need to be validated. I know what God said. Pray, and if that's you, I just want you to know, I just want you to receive that, because God says to you that you're released. Maybe there is something, but can I tell you, God's bigger than that. God is able to reach that child. He's able to reach you. He's able to go beyond the barriers that have been built. He's able to go beyond what has even happened. Maybe some of us have lost a parent. I don't know. Some I know now that I've said it. But God wants to release you from things that have happened to you. And also because of that, now we've made choices that we've passed on to our children. So this is an all-encompassing thing that God wants to set you free from what was and release you into what is. So when you pray for your children, you are free now to release the Word of God over their life. So God, right now, I pray for every heart in this house that has found something in what You told me to say as truth. First of all, God, we forgive our parents for anything that has happened to us that has become binding and has caused me, and this is a first person, has caused me to believe stuff about myself that's not true. Or that has caused me to take on a mindset and an unbelief in who You are, because whether I haven't been, or I believe that You weren't there, and where were You? Or maybe they never told You about the Lord. Maybe they never told You. Maybe you're steeped in religion. God, we just forgive our parents and all the generations back. perpetual sin and iniquity that has come down through our bloodline, that has come into our life, into my life, and has caused me to build a system of lies that has prevented you from coming into my life. I forgive. And if something specific, if a person, just say that, just however you want to do that. I forgive my dad. I forgive my mom. Or if you can remember, I forgive my grandfather. I forgive my grandmother. As far back as you can remember, I forgive them and I release them in the name of Jesus. And God, right now I break off every lie in my life that I've believed that has kept me in bondage from walking in my destiny. I break bloodline curses of disease. I break bloodline curses of dysfunction and habits and addictions in the name of Jesus. Maybe this is manifesting in your children. I don't know. But right now, in the name of Jesus, we break the legal right of the enemy through forgiving those that have gone before us. We forgive them. And we break the bloodline curse of any kind of dysfunction or rebellion against God in Jesus' name. I forgive myself. I forgive myself, God, where I have agreed with these lies. And by the blood of Jesus, I declare that I am free. And God, where I have acted in a way that I have affected my kids, where I wish that there were things that I wouldn't have done and I knew they were wrong. I knew it. God, forgive me for doing those things. Forgive me for agreeing with that. And I forgive myself for doing it. And I command all of those things, all of those lies, all of that guilt, all of that shame to leave right now in Jesus' name. And you're welcome to say it out loud. Get out in Jesus' name. Get out. And God, I pray right now by the power of the Holy Ghost that every heart that was in agreement and found truth somewhere in there, that right now, God, that you would fill that area of their life with the truth, that you would fill that area of their life with your love, with your power, God. There's no more looking back. You are not held to that any longer. You are forgiven. Peace be to you. Peace be to you. You receive it by faith. It's not a feeling, but praise God if you can feel it. But you possess God's truth by your faith in His Word. Just let it in. And God, right now, in the name of Jesus, we declare and decree destiny over our kids. If you want to say their names as we're praying this, you lift their names up to God. And we say in the name of Jesus, Deva, get your hands off my kids. Break every chain of rebellion. We just declare healing to every wound that's been given to them by the church. God, I prophesy their destiny over their lives. And right now we relieve the... Right now, in the name of Jesus, we break the legal right of the devil to harass them and to keep them from seeing the truth. We just pray that the scales be removed from their eyes and we prophesy the truth of God into their hearts. We prophesy redemption. Redemption over our kids. We break the spirit of rebellion in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We just declare burning hearts for God over our kids. God, we just thank thank you, Lord. We just praise you, Jesus. We thank you, God, that your Spirit is here and performing this as we speak. Don't you walk out of here believing that nothing happened. Don't you do it. You keep declaring it and declaring it over your kids. Because I'm telling you, the Lord's going to do something amazing in these young people. He's going to put a voice in their hearts. He's going to put His voice in their hearts. He's going to put fire in their hearts. I refuse to let go of this generation. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for taking the Peters and making them into the rock, the foundation. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it in Jesus' name. God, I just bless your word today, God. I thank you, Lord, for being pretty specific today. So I just invite anyone that needs prayer for healing. Y'all just mind gathering around Shirley and my mom? I just want to, don't put too much weight on them. But I just want you to agree in prayer for healing for them. You know, Shirley needs a touch from God. And you know, I don't want to see this pain anymore in her body. God, in the name of Jesus right now, God, I just pray that your Holy Ghost fire just come into Shirley's body right now, God. And in the name of Jesus, I command every form of arthritis to leave her right now in Jesus' name. Whatever the source of that pain is, I break it off in Jesus' name. And I just declare and decree healing over her body. I pray for my mom right now, Lord, in Jesus' name, that even as the hands are placed on her back, that the bones in her back, God, would be formed and made new right now in Jesus' name, that the space that's supposed to be between the vertebrae would now be forming. I call into being that which is not, and I declare healing over my mom's back right now in Jesus' name. Healing for Tim's back and his neck in the name of Jesus. Healing for Patty's arm. Healing for Paul in Jesus' name. I just, whatever that is, I declare and decree that it is not there. There is no cancer. There is no disease in Jesus' name. And I speak life into every cell of your body. Amen. To be healed in Jesus' name. And the same for Cheryl.
Yes, Jesus.
God, we declare and decree healing in her back right now, for strength to return, for the bones to be mended in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
God, I thank you. I just thank you, God, that this is a house that believes. This is a house that has found their voice. This is a house that will take a stand for you, God. So I just invite you to worship for this last song. Just come into the presence of God and allow what's taking place to just take root, to just stand in the peace and the presence of God.
Thank you.
Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. Death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. Death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. You silenced the The heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory. For you are raised to life again. You have no rival, you have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory. Yours is the name above all names. What a power.
Jesus Christ, my. Amen. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. You have no rival, you have no equal. Forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom.
What a powerful name.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we thank you for the words that were spoken this morning, God. We just thank you, Lord, that your name is powerful, Lord. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else but right here at this moment, God. We thank you for your healing touch, Lord. Thank you for what you're going to do in all of our lives. Father, I just pray that we get the word that was spoken today, Lord. Let us chew on it all week, Lord. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for touching lives this morning, God. What a powerful name is the name of Jesus.
Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name.